This is a story about power. A lot of stories about politics are. And the book of Daniel is written to a people in the midst of political crisis and change. Exiled from their home, under the rule of a foreign power, they struggle to understand how to get their footing as the powerful use them like pieces on a chessboard, not making decisions based on love or justice, but primarily on ways to increase political power. Babylon had carried into the service of their king some Jewish men and exiled many when they conquered Judah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom we've been hearing about today, were some of those Jewish men forced into the service of their king. The first power move comes as King Nebuchadnezzar erects a giant statue and tells everyone to worship it. Scholars have debated what the statue was of, but we don't exactly know. And perhaps that's okay, because it doesn't really matter. It was an idol people were told to worship. Most likely, the king's actions weren't driven by his own piety, so much as by his striving for power. He wanted everyone to do what he said. He wanted a physical expression of loyalty to his rule. He wanted everyone to act in ways that were comfortable to him. Sounds like a lot of rulers today and throughout history. The next power grab was by a group that our scripture identifies as Chaldeans, seizing the moment to attack the Jews. They don't care for these foreigners. So they tell on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Not only are these Jews seen as foreigners, they have been given responsibility in the administration. The Chaldeans want to see that change. They sense an opportunity for more power, and they take it. The king's original threat was that anyone who disobeys his order will be taken into a furnace. Then that seems out of proportion to his decree. But his violent reaction when he learns of their disobedience also suggests someone obsessed with his own power and intolerant of any dissent. So he calls Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and threatens them. But they respond boldly, unwavering in their fidelity to God, even in the face of his threats. His power, they know, though it may be enormous politically on earth, is no match for the power of God. In this tale of power-hungry people, the willingness of these three men to become powerless for the sake of God forms a strong contrast. They assert themselves when questioned by the king, not cowering in their vulnerability. They express trust in God to save them, and trust in God even if God chooses not to save them from death. That is fidelity. Then we enter the part of the story best known by most of us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown into a furnace, made so unreasonably hot by the orders of an enraged ruler that those carrying out his orders and throwing these three men into the furnace themselves perish in the flames. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, however, walk safely within the flames, accompanied by God. Once the king witnesses the power of God, first seeing a protective fourth being in the fire with them, and once the king calls them from the fire, seeing that they remain unharmed by it, you'd expect the king to rethink his relationship with power. Maybe he would realize that his violent threats don't really work. But no. Instead, he threatens others not to speak disrespectfully about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God. Or else. He remains ruthless and threatening, continuing to assert his power despite what he witnessed. Maybe he would decide to worship their God, becoming a true believer. But no. He doesn't become a follower, nor does he command others to follow. He simply allows the Jews their freedom of worship. Not surprising to any of us who know this scripture, God emerges as the one with true power. God's power is greater than that of the king who uses the power he has to take life rather than preserve it. God's power is worthy of worship rather than the lifeless idol. But God didn't use this power to prevent the Babylonian exile or the placement of Nebuchadnezzar as king. Instead, God used God's power to walk with those who trust in him through the flames. The Bible tells the story of a people seeking to learn about and understand God. During this, as well as several other times of political turmoil and power grabs, they learned that God was with them even when they no longer held earthly power. On this first Sunday of Advent, it may seem strange to turn to the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. After all, Advent is a time when we are to wait with anticipation for Jesus' birth. What does this story have to do with that? The answer, I believe, is power and presence. The God walking in the fiery furnace is the same God who came to us as a baby, who walked with us, and who, even today, continues with us in solidarity when we need, when we are in trials by fire. This is the God whose power is greater than any ruler, and whose presence burns hotter than any flame. Rulers of all sorts today wield power and demonstrate intolerance and demand a kind of worship or fidelity and honoring that recalls that of old King Nebuchadnezzar. We see it in the anger and violence directed at Gaza, but we see it elsewhere too. As Palestinian pastor Munther Isaac puts it, today it's Palestine. Tomorrow it's somewhere else, because it's the same mentality. It's the same ideology of segregation and supremacy. So we have to unite in saying no to this, to unite in providing an alternative that is based on coming together without these barriers or divisions or rankings. The human's desire for power is deeply connected to the nature of sin. Think about how often sin stems from a desire to assert power. This is not to say that we shouldn't ever use our power. The three followers of God in our story today gave powerful testimony to God before Nebuchadnezzar. But they did not do so in order to gain earthly power. They were simply standing powerfully in the presence of God. As we anticipate Christmas, it strikes me that the two most celebrated holidays, holy days, in the Christian year are Christmas and Easter. Both celebrate our God's willingness to bring together God's power and God's willingness to walk in vulnerable solidarity, going to great lengths to become present with us. This season of Advent offers us a chance to once again focus on this God of extraordinary power and presence. In these days of diminishing light and longer periods of darkness, we lean into this hope. This season also comes with extraordinary demands on our time, some triggering of emotions due to pain and loss, and at the same time, invitations to joy and hope. It's all part of this season in a messy mix. Sometimes we may feel like the demands of others keep us from worshiping God. Sometimes we may feel we are being forced into red-hot situations where we could get burned. Sometimes we see tyrants demanding wrong behavior that harms people. As we navigate these challenges, know that the God of power and presence will be walking with us, even through the flames. This is a God you can trust with your life.